Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
We're going to talk today about having our feet planted. And so I guess we could say that the first thing we must do in having our feet planted is to make sure that our feet are continually clean. On that note, let's go to John chapter 13. We'll start in verse 1. John 13, beginning in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover. This is the discourse of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. This John 13. So when you think of John 13, one of the things you want to associate is this is where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Some people say, wow, I want to be able to navigate the Bible. And that's a great desire. That's the Holy Spirit. So remember, when Jesus stood up to read and preach, he knew exactly where to go in the Bible. And it was in a scroll form in Luke 4, where he stands up to read and announce that he is the Messiah. He opened the book of Isaiah to where it was written. He went right to the reference. So 1 Corinthians 13 is a love chapter. All right, how about this? John 13 is about where Jesus teaches us to love one another as he has loved us by washing the feet or serving the other disciples of Christ. Now before the feast of the Passover, this is John 13, 1, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now that means he loved them to the fullest extent every minute that he was here. He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper. He stood up and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself, which represents the serving nature of Jesus. And now he's going to teach us that we're here to serve him and others. Amen. We talk about that often, and that must be drilled down deep into us, that we exist, you and I, as the children of God. We're no longer our own. We're bought with a price. We're now Christ. And our whole mission every day, our whole privilege, is to serve God and others above ourselves. And remember, this symbolic act of Jesus reminds us of how our Lord Jesus left the ivory palaces of divine excellence and glory above in heaven, and he came down into this world as a servant. Jesus came to minister to those he had created who were a fallen race. That's us. We were separated from God because of sin. So he came to remove the chasm that separated fallen man from a holy God by ultimately dying on the cross. That's why he came. Jesus came to ultimately die on the cross to atone for the sins of the world. And his sacrifice was perfect. So his perfect sacrifice on the cross, it is finished, or paid in full sacrifice, John 19:30, on the cross satisfied the claims of the Father's justice to reconcile us or bring us back to himself. I want you to write a note in your mind or with your pen to remember to read Philippians chapter 2, so that you can read about how Christ came from heaven to earth to serve us. What we're doing here, Saints, on Sunday mornings when we get together is we're drilling down on what's most important for the foundation of our lives in Christ. We see in Scripture that we are to love the Lord with all of our hearts, minds, and strength, and we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is why we talk about the cross, the crucified life, is because you and I need to be X'd out of the way so that we can love God and others above ourselves. All right, let me speak it straight. You cannot serve God on your own way. You have to serve God the way He has put it forth and prescribed in His Word. If you fear God truly, you will serve Him on His stated terms and no other. To varying degrees, many people that I know that have been saved for a long time, to varying degrees, they had the true biblical foundation laid in their lives as a new Christian. We're laying the foundation of the cardinal, the cornerstone doctrinal truths that Jesus came to give us so that you are on a bedrock, the bedrock of the Word of God. Jesus said at the end of, we're just going to reference this. We're not going to go there. We're going to stay in John 13. But Jesus made it clear that anybody whose life is not founded and grounded on the foundational truths of His original gospel is going to be washed away in the flood of judgment that's coming. End of Matthew 7. Remember, saints, biblically, the root determines the fruit. So when the roots of your life are beginning to sink down deep into the soil of Christ and His kingdom, then the fruit is going to be nice and beautiful and sweet and pleasing to God. Let's say these things out loud. Let's say, Jesus bought me with His blood to serve Him and others above myself. I am crucified with Christ and raised up by Christ to love Him and others, to serve them humbly as unto Him, to bring Jesus eternal glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know if you can sense it, but I believe God is so well pleased when we look at what He said in the heart of the message of His original gospel, to love Him and to love others, to prefer them above ourselves. So this all happens by way of the cross life, the crucified life. I believe that if we would have just learned this cross message immediately upon being saved, that would have been such a great thing to lay the foundation. It's so important, no matter how long ago Jesus saved us, that we become more deeply entrenched in the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, which begin with repentance and in loving God and loving others. The cross has to be in place so that we are X'd out, so that we are crucified. Before we continue in our main text, which is John 13 today, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet and teaches us to do the same for other disciples, let me quote Jesus out of Luke 14:27. He said, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." All right, so I'm just simply referencing that verse in case anybody wanted to write down the reference that Jesus said that whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So He's saying you cannot follow me unless you're willing to put me first and you have to be crucified. In order to love God and love others, we have to be dead and buried with Christ. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord with your whole being, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And that's what Jesus is demonstrating here as He washes His disciples' feet. So in verse 4 that we just read a few minutes ago, when it says that Jesus rose up from supper, from dinner with His disciples, He laid aside His own garments and took a towel and girded Himself. Now, this is what it means in Philippians chapter 2, when He laid aside His divinity, not that He wasn't God, but He laid it aside that He might come to the earth and die for our sins. In Philippians 2, it says this, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God," that's because He is God, "but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So he took upon himself the form of a servant to come down and serve humanity, his fallen creation, all the way to the point of death on the cross. Verse 5, John 13, we're not going to be able to thoroughly and completely exhaust this chapter by any means. So this is a good chapter for you to go back and read this week. Verse 5, after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. In that culture, the shoes that they had were sandals, and so it was necessary for them to wash their feet very frequently. So I don't believe Jesus is saying that you and I in our culture have to go ask somebody to take off their shoes so that you can wash their feet. No, he's talking about helping people in a general fashion in whatever they need help with. We all need more prayer, right? And one of the first things, we don't have time to elaborate on that, but let me encourage you to pick out at least three people to put on your prayer list to begin serving every morning by bringing their name before the Lord in prayer. In Jesus' name. Let's get the picture here with Jesus and his disciples. Back in that day, it was kind of like a common courtesy to have your slaves that you had, your servants, to wash the feet of the guests that you brought into your home. Here we have the divine host, Jesus Christ, who has become a slave to redeem mankind. And he's going to prefigure his ultimate sacrifice by serving his own. And keep in mind, saints, that among the 12 was the very betrayer, the traitor himself, Judas, whose feet Jesus washed. So Jesus even washed the feet of Judas, knowing that Judas would ultimately betray him. So we're going to jump to verse 8 in the interest of time, where Jesus is going to wash Peter's feet. And it says, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What Jesus is speaking of here, of being washed by Jesus, is the washing of regeneration. That's being born again, John chapter 3. So he's speaking of no one being able to be in his kingdom unless they allow him to wash them of all their sins initially and ongoing. You can't be a part of the kingdom unless you let Jesus forgive all your sins and you let him have your life. Verse 9, notice how Peter reacts. He really, really got this revelation, and we can see that by what he said. It says this, verse 9 and 10, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. In other words, just wash me all clean, Lord, all the way, every whit whole. In this, do we not see that our relationship with God is more about a surrender than it is a struggle? Peter surrendered. He let go and let God. In verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed, or initially saved, that is, washed by regeneration, being born again, he that is washed needeth not save or except to wash his feet. So enduring to the end, he's speaking of our life in Christ after he saved us. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. He's also speaking about the washing of water by the word, which we experience every day as we arise to read and study God's word. Notice here, as we come to a close in verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So we're to serve the body of Christ as he served the body of Christ when he was on earth. We're going to talk about verse 17 and then verse 35. I want you to raise your hand if you want to be happy in Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 17, and I want you to read that. If ye know these things, in other words, if you're grabbing on to and embracing what I'm showing you about serving others, happy are ye if you do them. Saints, grab this truth, because if you'll grab what he's saying and teaching and illustrating here and demonstrating, you're going to walk around a happy, born-again believer in the midst of a dark and increasingly evil world. Verse 35, by this, now what is this? We're going to find out. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. There's a prayer that many pray, and it's simply this: Lord, please reduce me to love. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close, we are known to be God's people in that his love in us and our love for one another is evident and is unique and exclusive because only God is love. One more thing, the Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 is where that is. God bless you, saints.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several, many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.